Greetings, this is Pastor Stan Harvey of the Pentecostals of Sydney. Thank you for joining us on our podcast. It is our hope that this message, whether it be a Sunday service or a midweek lesson, would be a blessing and a help to you in your spiritual journey. Stay connected with us on our website, posydney.com, or on our numerous social media platforms. Now to the service.
This morning, I just want to talk to you on a simple thought. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus had commissioned his 12 disciples to go out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal all of those who needed healing. They had gone throughout the surrounding villages. They were preaching the gospel and they were healing everywhere. In fact, news of what was going on had actually reached the ears of King Herod. And he was perplexed because people were telling him that John the Baptist was back, or that there was Elijah had risen up from the dead, or the prophets of old had returned. And so he was surprised. He didn't know what was going on, all these miracles taking place all throughout the region. And the 12 disciples, they returned and told Jesus everything that had taken place. And what a praise report that must have been. They were sent out by the Lord, and they went out and they ministered and they saw healing take place. They saw miracles happen. They saw blind eyes open. They saw amazing things take place. And so they were coming back and they were reporting to Jesus what they had experienced. And Jesus and the disciples, they decided to slip away out of the public's attention to Bethsaida, but the crowds discovered where they were going and followed them. Everywhere Jesus went, it seemed that the crowds would follow. And so as he tried to slip away to Bethsaida, they noticed and they followed after him. And instead of sending the crowd away, Jesus welcomed them and he taught them on the kingdom of God while healing those who were in need. And as the day came to an end, the disciples told Jesus to send the crowd away so they could have something to eat and they could find a place to rest. This is all taking place in Luke chapter 9. And instead of sending them away, Jesus performed the miraculous and he fed over 5,000 people with nothing more than 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. An amazing miracle take place. A miraculous had happened. And all of this is happening in one single day. In one day, the disciples were to give their report to Jesus. So that happened in the morning. And then Jesus was healing and he was teaching the multitudes throughout the day. And then that evening, it culminated with 5,000 people being fed miraculously. Could you imagine experiencing that day with the Lord? Could you imagine what they were going through that day? The amazing things that were taking place? There would have been rejoicing. There would have been shouting. They would have been on a high. They would have been up on the mountaintop, as you would say, because all of these great things were taking place. But following that supernatural day, Jesus asked his disciples. He asked them this question. He said, "Who do the people say that I am?" And the answers came back, John the Baptist or Elijah or one of the prophets of old, the same things that King Herod had heard. And then came his next question. Jesus said, "But who do you say I am?" Peter, he bravely stood up and he said, "Christ of God, the Christ of God." Satisfied with that answer, Jesus instructed them that they were not to tell anyone this. And then he dropped a bomb on them in verse 22 of Luke chapter 9. And he says this in verse 22, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised up on the third day." And he was saying to them all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it." Amen. He began preparing them for what was ultimately going to happen. He began preparing them for what was going to take place in their future. I know Jesus is saying to them, I know you're celebrating right now. I know you're excited of what all has taken place this day, but not every day is going to be rainbows and miracles. Not every day is going to be sunshine and roses. There is coming a day where the crowds won't be there anymore. They won't be following me and asking me to heal them, but they will be following me calling for my blood. They will be celebrating my crucifixion. I know it's easy to follow me now, but will you follow me then? It's easy to follow Jesus when he feeds the 5,000, but will you follow him when he goes to Calvary? And according to verse 23 of Luke chapter 9, that is his prerequisite to following him. If any of you wants to be my follower, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. We talk a lot about taking up your cross daily, but this morning I want to focus your attention on what must take place before you take up your cross. Before you take up your cross daily, you must deny yourself. You must deny yourself. What does that mean? What does it mean to deny oneself? I think the best way to understand what Jesus truly means by denying yourself is to look at his life. Remember in verse 22, he introduces this idea of following him by sharing with his disciples that he was going to be rejected, that he was going to be rejected and he was going to be killed. He is juxtaposing his suffering and the ultimate crucifixion to the requirement of discipleship. He's saying this suffering, this crucifixion that I'm about to endure, this is what it is, a requirement of discipleship. So did Jesus give us an example of denying himself in the time leading up to his crucifixion? Is there an example that we can read in Scripture where he actually does deny himself? Well, I believe it is found in Luke chapter 22. In Luke chapter 22, Jesus had just completed what is known as the Last Supper with his disciples. It was there that he continued to reveal to them that he was about to suffer. And also that one of the 12 who was sitting at the table was actively betraying him. Not only that, but in that atmosphere, he told Peter that before the rooster crowed in the morning, that next morning before the rooster crowed, he would deny him on three separate occasions. Imagine sitting at that dinner. I'm about to be crucified. Oh yeah, one of you has betrayed me. Oh yeah, this guy over here by name, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows in the morning. Obviously, Peter rejected the idea that this would ever happen. And it was from there, from that dinner, from that supper together, that they went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And it is in the garden, in that time of deep prayer, that Jesus exemplifies to us what it means to deny yourself. Starting at verse 40 and reading through to verse 44 of the 22nd chapter of Luke, it says, "Now when he arrived at that place," meaning Jesus, "he said to them, 'Pray that you do not come into temptation.' And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw. And he knelt down and he began to pray, saying, 'Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done.' Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him, and being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. Jesus said, 'Father, if you are willing, if you're willing.'" He knew the pain that he was about to endure. You see, the reason that he is our champion is because he went to the cross, because he overcame the grave. He knew what he was about to endure. He knew the depth of the sacrifice he was about to make. "Remove this cup from me. I know this is what is required, but I'm really struggling right now. I understand what you're wanting me to do, but the road is very hard. Remove this cup from me if you're willing. Yet, not my will, but yours be done. I'm going to submit my will to your will. I'm going to deny myself." You see, before Jesus could ever take up the cross, he had to submit his will to the will of God. Before he could ever go to Calvary, he had to submit himself. He had to deny himself. Taking up your cross and following Jesus, it doesn't start with sacrifice, but it starts with submission. Following Jesus doesn't start with sacrifice, but it starts with submission. We must deny ourselves first. Then we are to take up our cross daily and follow Jesus. Well, what is submission? Submission is the action of accepting or yielding to a superior force or to the will or authority of another person. You see, we don't like talking about submission. That's a nasty word. We don't like discussing that in our modern culture, because we live in a culture, we live in a country where our leadership, if they frustrate us, we don't necessarily have to submit to them. We can fire them. We can get rid of them. We can make changes if it doesn't fit our opinion or the desires of the public. We live in a society that elevates the individual and the freedom of that individual. You know, make your own way. Do your own thing. You don't have to submit. You don't have to be in submission. And so when we hear that word, it becomes a dirty word because of the culture that we are surrounded by, this culture that refuses to submit, this culture that refuses to abide by standards. And so it is always jarring when that culture clashes with kingdom culture. And the concept of submission is no different. Submission is simply putting your mission below the mission of someone or something else. You are submitting your will. You are submitting your desires. You are putting that below. You're submitting it to God's will. You're submitting it to God's desires for your life. You're saying, not my plan, not my will, but yours be done in my life. I'm not exactly sure what that plan is. I'm not exactly sure what that will is, but I'm going to make the decision that it's not my plan. It's not my will, but I want your will to be done. I want your plan to operate in my life. Amen. You see, I believe this message is really going to help someone out today. You feel like you've been sacrificing. You feel like you've been giving up yourself, but it is causing frustration. It is causing you to be tired. It's causing you to maybe even be angry. You're not seeing the progress in your walk with God that you desire. Could it be that you are trying to serve God through sacrifice, but you haven't submitted your will to His will? You are trying to sacrifice your way into the presence of God instead of submitting your will to His will. You're trying to live for God on your own terms. This is the way I should live for Him. This is the way I think I should follow Him. You see, sacrifice without submission leads to frustration. Sacrifice without submission always leads to frustration. What did the prophet Samuel tell King Solomon in 1 Samuel chapter 15? For context, the Lord had commanded Saul to utterly destroy his enemy. This was an enemy that had been torturing the people of God for many years. And instead of doing what God had asked him to do, Saul spared the king of his enemy. And not only that, but he spared the best of the sheep, the oxen, the more valuable animals, the lambs, and everything that was good. And when he was confronted by the prophet Samuel, King Saul replied, he said, "The people spared the best of the sheep and oxen to be sacrificed to the Lord your God." Samuel, I know you asked me to do this thing. I know you told us what to do. I know you said that God said I should do this, but I thought we should keep some of this stuff to sacrifice to Him. I thought this would be a better way of honoring God. No matter what he said to me, I thought this would be the right way of honoring God. Listen to Samuel's reply in verse 22 of 1 Samuel chapter 15. He says, "Does the Lord have as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to pay attention is better than the fat of rams." To obey is better than sacrifice. To listen to the word of God is better than giving of your time, giving of your energy to the Lord. It is better to obey than to sacrifice. You see, King Saul, he failed God because he prioritized sacrifice over submitting to the word of God. He prioritized what he could give, what he was going to give over just simply following the word of God. It didn't matter that he had the best animals to give the Lord. It didn't matter that he was willing to sacrifice. His will was not surrendered to the will of God. And because his will was not surrendered to the will of God, the sacrifice meant nothing to the Lord. Why does sacrifice without submission ultimately lead to frustration? It's because you are working outside the framework that the Lord has created for his followers. He is the one that has designed it. He is the one that says, this is how you should follow me. And so when you are choosing to sacrifice but not submit, you get frustrated. Why? Because you're not following the plan that God has for you. You're not listening to his word. You're choosing it to do it your own way. We are working outside of the framework that the Lord has established for us. How can we say that we are a follower of Jesus if we are not submitted to his word? How can we say that we are his follower if we are not submitting to the word of God? Hallelujah. You see, in Luke chapter 6, Jesus was teaching when he said this. In verse 46, he says, now, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? He then compared everyone who comes to him, hears his words, and acts on them to someone who has a sure foundation that will stand against the elements of this world. But to those who only hear the word of the Lord, but they don't act on it, their foundation was on sand, and the elements ultimately destroyed them. The very foundation of our walk with God is based on our willingness to hear the word of the Lord, but then to also act on it. It's not enough just to hear the word of the Lord, but we must act on the word of the Lord. Only then will you be able to stand against the forces of the enemy. Only then will you be able to stand against the waves and the winds of this culture. When you are submitted to the word of God, when you not only hear the word, but you decide to finally act on the word of God. Hallelujah. Listen to this powerful passage from James chapter 1, starting at verse 21. In humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. That is why the preaching of the word of God is so powerful. Not just preaching, but the preaching of the cross, the preaching of the word of God, the preaching of the gospel is powerful because it has the ability to save your souls. Not because of the preacher, not because of the eloquence, not because of that, but because of the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. It has the ability to save your soul. That's why we come every Sunday and listen to the word of God, because we want to be saved. We want to be changed. We want to be following after him. Hallelujah. It is his word that does the work. It is his word that changes us. It is his word that works on our hearts. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It is his word that does the work. In James 1, it says, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls, but prove yourselves doers of the word, and not just hearers who deceive themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who hasn't looked intently at the perfect law, or the word of God, the law of freedom, and has continued in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an active doer, this person will be blessed in what he does. If we decide to actually act on the word of God and not just hear it, we will be blessed. We will be able to walk in the promises of God. You see, the blessings of God are attached to our willingness to not only hear the word of the Lord, but to actually act on the word of the Lord, to follow his word. Hallelujah. That's why you can hear the message of salvation every week. You can hear that you need to repent of your sins. You can hear that you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. You can hear the words that you need to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. But until you act on it, you are not going to experience salvation. We can't just be a hearer of the word, but we must act on a word. We must activate the word of God in our life through faith, through obedience to the word of the Lord. Until you repent, until you make the decision to be baptized, until you respond to the word of God, nothing is going to change in your life. But if you do respond, it's not enough to come to church. It's not enough just to enter into his presence. It's not enough even to hear the word of the Lord, but we must act on it. We must act on the word of the Lord. And this is the hard part, even if you don't agree. Especially if you don't agree. That is when we are given the opportunity to submit our will to the will of God. It's easy to follow God when he's doing everything that you want him to do. But if he asks you to do something you don't want to do, that's when you're given the opportunity, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. I'm going to deny myself today, and I'm going to see your word work in my life. Hallelujah. You know, Lord, I don't want to turn the other cheek. You know, why? Like, that's not fair. He did me wrong. Why do I have to turn the other? I don't want to forgive them. They did something wrong to me. They hurt me. I don't want to do that. Why do I have to be a faithful employee on a Monday morning? Everybody else is calling in sick. Why do I have to show my faithfulness? Do I really need to give sacrificially again? I gave last week. I gave last month. Why are you asking for me again to do this? That place you're calling me to, it's too remote. There's nobody around there. It's too difficult. That couple that you wanted me to invite over for dinner, they're not really in my friendship group. Their personality is completely different to me. Why would you ask me to do that? This is an opportunity. All of these things are opportunities. All of these things are opportunities for you to deny yourself. For you to deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow him. It's an opportunity for you to be a follower of Jesus. It's an opportunity for you to see the work of God work in your life and through your hands and through your feet. It is an opportunity to do the will of God, not my will, but yours be done. Don't just be a hearer of the word, but act on it and see that work come alive in your life. See the promises of God flow out of your life. See the blessings of God reach into your family and into your community. Why? Because I released it when I obeyed his word, and his word told me to go, so I'm going to go. His word told me to say this, so I'm going to say that. His word told me to bless that somebody, so I'm going to bless them. And then I have unleashed the blessings of God, not just in my life, but in the lives of those that are around me. Hallelujah. Let's not just be hearers of the word, but let's act on the word of God. I know this isn't easy preaching this morning, but I want to tell someone today that your sacrifice doesn't have to lead to frustration. You don't have to be constantly frustrated when you're sacrificing in the kingdom of God. But it can actually lead to joy. Your sacrifice can lead to joy. You don't have to be frustrated, but you can have joy in the Lord. Even in your sacrifice, even in your giving of yourself, you can have joy. But that only happens through submitted sacrifice. It only happens through submitted sacrifice. If I could please get the musicians to come. Listen to the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 12. He is encouraging the saints to run the race of life with endurance. He tells them to lay aside every weight and sin. And then he writes this in verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 12. He says, looking unto Jesus. It's always good to look to Jesus. When you're going through trouble, look to Jesus. When things are good, look to Jesus. Looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Did he go to the cross jumping and leaping and praising God? No. But he knew that on the other side of that sacrifice, on the other side of that giving, there was a joy that could be gained. There was joy on the other side of sacrifice, but it only happened when he got to the place that he would first deny himself and say, not my will, but yours be done. And because he was willing to deny himself and submit himself to the plan of God, that sacrifice led to joy. There is a joy that accompanies sacrifice, but it can only happen when you say, not my will, but yours be done. Not my plan, but your plan. Not my way, but your way. Not my will, but yours be done. That is when you truly begin to live the better life that God has for you. That is when you truly begin to live the life that God has for you. As Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And you will live a life that makes an eternal difference. Why? Because you made the decision that I'm going to submit my will to the will of God. And I'm going to allow my sacrifice to do a work in this world for the kingdom of God. If you could be upstanding, thank you for your attention here today. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. This morning, I'm calling us all to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. You see, this message was inspired by a conversation that I had with an elder. Last week, I was traveling in Indonesia with one of our elders, Brother Paulus. And he kept making this statement. He said, we got to go back to the garden. So what do you mean by that, Brother Paulus? And that conversation that we had sparked the message that you're hearing here this morning. We have to go back to the Garden of Gethsemane. What does that mean? You see, that's that place of prayer. That's that place of surrendering to God. That is the place where you will find out if your will is actually submitted to God, or if you're just following God the way that you want to follow Him. Are you trying to live in your own strength this morning? Are you trying to serve God out of tradition? Are you trying to serve God out of something that you have learned along the way? Are you trying to serve out of obligation? Or is it relationship that is drawing you to Jesus? Have you surrendered everything to Him? Or are you holding something back? I want to challenge you this morning to go to the garden. Go to that place of prayer in this altar, this place here at the front. We call it the altar. It's just a space that we provide that gives you an opportunity to pray, and our leaders would love to pray with you. But go to the garden. Go to that place of prayer. Submit your will, submit your plans, submit your desires to the Lord. I know there's something that you want to do. I know you have plans for your life, but what are His plans for your life? What is His voice saying to you? What is He speaking into your heart here this morning? What is His will for your life? Ask the Lord to search your heart. Search me, God, and know my heart. Put me to the test and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there is any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I'm not going to try and inspire you. I'm just going to give you an invitation to come. Respond to the word of the Lord and find out where you're at. You may be fully submitted. That's fine. But there may be some of us who are struggling to let go of some things. There may be some of us who are struggling to repent, and it's because we're holding on to something. Go to the garden this morning. Go to that personal place of prayer with the Lord. And I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you to make that decision. Not my will, but yours be done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, Lord, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Jesus, for what you accomplished on the cross. Because you were willing to go, you were willing to submit your will, you were willing to submit it to the Lord. And because of that, we have grace. Because of that, we have mercy. Because of that submitted sacrifice, blessings have flown from the cross. Love has flown from the cross. Mercy and grace flows from the cross. I pray for every individual, Lord, that they would not leave this place the same way that they came, but that they would make the decision, not my will, but yours be done. Not my plan, God, but your plan be done. Hallelujah. This altar is open. If you'd like to pray, we'd love to pray with you here today. Amen. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. and follow him. What is God asking you to do? What is the voice of the Lord speaking into your heart today? Is he calling you to repent? Has he been talking to you about baptism and you've been putting it off? Is he asking you to go somewhere? To plant a church, to teach a Bible study? What has the Lord been speaking into your heart? What are we holding back? Submit your will to the Lord and see what he will do in your life. Amen.